Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time to talk a little NFL right now. And joining me on the program, he's been covering the NFL for a number of years. Does a phenomenal job. You can get him on Twitter at HBalzer72. And he is the Pro Football Senior Editor for Lindy's. Howard Balzer joining me on CBS Sports Radio to talk a little NFL football. Howard, it's great to have you on the show. I appreciate you making some time. We've talked a lot about this Le'Veon Bell Jets kind of quagmire that's going on up there. Do you think there's any chance that the Jets trade Le'Veon Bell?
I you never want to say that there's no chance at anything, because in this crazy world of the NFL, strange things happen. I would still be surprised if that happens, at least now. I mean, or at least, you know, going into this season, because even though we've heard all the drama in the last week and everything that's gone on with him not being there, and then with the general manager being fired, and the word that Adam Gase wasn't really on board with him signing for as much money as he did, the reality is that any hope the Jets have for having a pretty good season probably is dependent on Le'Veon Bell being there and playing good football. So unless something additional crazy happens in terms of the relationship, I would be surprised if he's traded. And the other aspect is, the only way you can trade him is if someone wants to pick up that contract and give the Jets what they believe is value in the deal. And it wasn't like he was he got that much interest in free agency. It wasn't as if teams were lining up at his door. And so I think all those things combined together probably indicate that he will still be with the Jets.
How do you think it'll be in terms of the relationship between Gase and Bell, Howard, since Bell, you know, reportedly Gase wanted Bell to be in the building even for the voluntary stuff. Bell hasn't been there. You know, he comes in after a year off of football for business reasons. We know sometimes coaches get uptight about the love of the game and things like that. How do you think that relationship is going to go, especially knowing now that Gase is the one who didn't want Bell there?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, from Gase's standpoint, all coaches want their players there for the off-season work. I think the key will be the OTAs minimally, and then, of course, the mini camp. When you're not there for lifting weights and all that, I mean, that's what everyone kind of forgets, that this whole beginning of the off-season program is about lifting weights and conditioning.
Right.
And while, yes, it's true, most of the players are there, it's not like that's the end of the world in terms of preparing yourself for the season. I'm sure, though, Gase and probably a lot of people in the organization would like to have their eyeballs on him to see exactly what he looks like, especially after not playing last season. But I think, and again, I think, I don't know if it was as much that Gase didn't want Bell, but I don't think that he thought it was important to pay him what they ended up paying him. So I think it'll be a key in terms of how they communicate and what happens behind closed doors in terms of that relationship. But I'm sure Gase realizes now he needs a quality Le'Veon Bell for the team to have, you know, a competitive season. So I think he's got to play it the right way in terms of being on the same page as Bell. So, but I think all those things, all those aspects will be important in terms of this moving forward.
How much stock do you put in them wanting Peyton Manning to possibly run football operations? And I guess a two-part question. When Peyton ultimately finds whatever it is he's going to do, whether it's broadcasting, personnel, even being a part owner of a team, if you had to handicap it, what do you think Peyton winds up doing when he gets he works his way back into doing something football-related?
I would think at some point that he would probably like a role with a team. And I don't know if it's the hands-on, get your hands dirty, you know, fingers and hands on the ground, scouting and all that. But in terms of setting the tone for an organization, I think that's one of the things that people seem to think that why he might be a good fit for the Jets in terms of putting together the right organization and the right people to communicate and be on the same page and do all those things that I think is important to have a successful organization. So I think that that type of role perhaps could be something that he's interested in. Now, I don't know what's going on in his mind. You know, let's remember, Dan Marino had that opportunity to do that one time with the Dolphins long, long time ago. It took him about, and it took him about 2 months of going to the combine and doing this and doing that and saying, no, I don't think this is what I really want to do. Right. So we really don't know what's going on in Peyton Manning's head. And so it's tough to predict. But I think if he would get involved with a team, I think it would be in that type of role that I laid out.
Howard Balzer, Lindy's Pro Football Senior Editor, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Howard, as someone who's been covering the game for as long as you have, what are your thoughts on this trend, this new trend with the hiring head coaches that are viewed as kind of young, sizzly, offensive type of quarterback whispers, you know, the Kingsbury's, the Zach Taylor's, LaFleur, you know, Freddie Kitchens getting the job when he didn't even have his only coordinator experience was the second half of last season in Cleveland. How do you think this is going to work out for these teams making these hires? And as, you know, like I said, as someone who's, you know, covered a lot of head coaching trends, probably, where does this one sort of, how do you think this one's going to wind up ultimately playing out NFL? Do you think more teams are going to wind up copying this or running away from it?
Yeah, no, it's a great question, but I do think that the whole aspect of hiring quality offensive people to run the team as a head coach is one that the trend has been going towards that in recent years. And I think the big reason that I think people overlook is this: when you have that guy who's in charge of the offense, in charge of the team as well, if it works well and the team's playing well, because it still comes down to player. I mean, you can get all the people in the world that know Sean McVay, but if you don't have the same players that he has, it doesn't matter. But having said all that, the point is, if you have that guy as your head coach and you do well, guess what? You're not going to lose the head coach to go to some other team. And that's the danger when you have a defensive-oriented guy running your team who has a really good offensive coordinator, and he puts in a heck, they have the talent, they have this, they have that, and then that guy gets, you know, poached to be a head coach somewhere else. And then you're starting over, or at least starting with another offensive coordinator, which in this league, when you have a certain number of young quarterbacks, that can be a tough, tough adjustment for quarterbacks if you constantly change offensive coordinators. So I think partially that's a big reason why teams are doing that. But obviously you have to identify the right ones. I think you can go too far. But, you know, we saw Matt Nagy do a nice job, obviously, with the Bears last year. I thought the Bengals really took it way too far with Zach Taylor. But, you know, we'll see if it works out. But, again, at the end of the day, it comes down to having that talent and the right quarterback and all that talent around the quarterback for that offensive coach to be successful. And that's the huge key for all these guys. And that's why it's important for these guys who take those jobs to make sure it's the right situation. Because once you get that chance, if it doesn't work, even you can point your finger at a lot of reasons why it didn't, but the perception is going to be, well, it was the wrong hire as the head coach. And so that's why you have to be really, really careful as that coach to go to the right situation when you get that opportunity.
Of those four guys that I just named, Howard, because I think they're similar style hires, Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona, Matt LaFleur in Green Bay, you mentioned Zach Taylor in Cincinnati, and I'll put Freddie Kitchens in there in Cleveland. Of those four, who's under the most pressure?
Wow, that's a good... I would probably say LaFleur is under the most pressure, although you can make a case that Kitchens is going to be under a hell of a lot of pressure because of the expectations this year for the Browns in the way they finished that season last year. But like you said, he was in his first time as a play caller on offense, and now all of a sudden he's a head coach. So certainly the pressure is there. But I say LaFleur because of Aaron Rodgers. And so there's a certain expectation that because of all the noise and all the chatter about what was going on with Green Bay and the relationship supposedly between Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy, and that's a team that has had a lot of success over the years. Well, now it's going to be expected. Oh, now LaFleur, the young buck, he's going to be able to walk in there, and now it's going to turn around. Well, the reality is the talent isn't as good around Aaron Rodgers as it once was. I get back to my original point. But people don't look at that a lot of times. They look at the one guy, and they want to he's the one you want to sink or swim with. So I think from all those aspects, because you have Aaron Rodgers, he's probably going to be the one with the most pressure and the highest expectations.
Last one, we got about a minute to go along those lines. The number that I've seen out there for the Cleveland Browns for total season win total is around 9. I've seen 9. I've seen 8.5. Let's just call it 9. Do you go over or under 9 wins for the Cleveland Browns this year?
I think it'll probably be pretty close to that. I think that they won 7 last year, and of course that includes a tie. So technically it was 7.5.
Right.
But so I don't think it's a stretch to think that they could win 10. But the expectations are going to be high, like we were just saying. But the main reason is as much because they have a pretty good team right now. They've got some pretty good talent that John Dorsey has put together. But I think Pittsburgh has slid a little bit. I think that Baltimore has slid a little bit, especially on defense, and we still don't know what Lamar Jackson is going to be like for 16 games. And so I think because of that division now, I think that trends pretty positively for the Browns. But once again, they're going to have to prove it and not believe all the press clippings where people are picking them to win a division and think they can just walk on the field and make that happen.
Howard Balzer on Twitter at HBalzer721. And he, of course, the Pro Football Senior Editor for Lindy's. Howard, really appreciate you making time on a Sunday evening. Enjoyed the conversation. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Sean. Take care.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.